Hi, this is Mike Essen. We're here to talk politics today. And it is my honor and privilege to have on my show the president of the Republican Party of Florida. His name is Lenny Curry. Lenny, welcome to the Mike Essen Show.
Hey, good to be with you today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming on my show, too. Let's start with the very beginning, the state House and state Senate races. Do you see Will Weatherford's seats up for grabs, or do you think he's pretty safe in his area?
He's done a good job, and I think that we will, over the long term, retain that seat even when the speaker is termed out. I don't see that as being competitive with for Democrats.
Do you see any seats, like in my neck of the woods? He's not my state senator, but he's close, like Dwight Ballard or some of the left-wing senators might have a negative turnout from Obamacare?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's our goal. We believe that we will keep our majorities in the House and the Senate and carefully examine and pick where we might be able to pick up a couple of seats, but we feel like we're in pretty good shape in the House and the Senate. Our real focus starts with the top of the ticket down, and, you know, the hot race, the race that the National Democrats are focusing on is our race for governor here in the state of Florida.
We are going to get to that, I promise. We got to get to some of the congressional seats first. The governor's, you know, the big, is the Super Bowl of the year, you'd agree.
Yes.
And then we'll go to 2016 a little later. How do you see the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Joe Kaufman thing? Do you think Joe Kaufman, who was a guest on my show, has a shot at maybe unseating Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
You know, the way that district's drawn, that's difficult. That certainly district is certainly cut to a Democrat's advantage. Some of the seats, though, around the state where Democrats have targeted, for example, they've targeted Steve Sutherland. They're coming after him pretty hard with Glenn Graham. We feel like we're in a good spot there. Sutherland's done exactly what he said he would do when he campaigned. He's been a good representative in that district. Then there's a special election in Pinellas County to replace the late Bill Young.
With David Jolly and Alex Sink, right?
That's right, David Jolly and Alex Sink. A number of pundits have suggested that the results of this race will be a sign of what's to come. And I disagree, just simply based on the numbers. Even though Bill Young held that seat as a Republican for many years, he was a known name, a respected statesman in that district. That district voted for President Obama twice over the Republican candidate. The electorate is about evenly split in the mid-30% Republican-Democrat, with the balance being independents. This district would arguably lean Democrat now, based on the electorate, given President Obama's performance there. That being said, David Jolly worked with and for Bill Young, so if anyone can carry the mantle of his legacy, he can. And polling tells us that we have a real shot at this. And you know, grassroots donors from around Florida are engaged in that race. We think we can pull it off, but it's certainly not. This certainly, either way, this is not an indication of what may happen throughout the state of Florida in November.
I think one of the weak seats the Democrats have is Joe Garcia's seat, where he has 1,000 challengers running against him, some who have been on my show. What do you think of that seat?
I completely agree with you. Now, that seat was previously held by a Republican. It can be competitive with a strong candidate emerging from the primary. We won't get involved in the primary. But Garcia's also got a series of problems that we've seen over the last year or so that I believe will hurt him with the electorate. So that's one we think we can pick up, and we'll go for it.
I want to stress a couple things, Lenny, and I want to know what your feelings are. I think we have to have a lot of we need GOP unity to win midterm elections, and midterm elections are like the NFC Championship to the Super Bowl of 2016, if you want to put it like that. And I hate the term rhino, because I think it discourages people from the party. I think it's usually meant for people who disagree in a couple areas. Usually the so-called GOP establishment, the Tea Party, agree on over 90% of the stuff. What do you think of what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that a majority of the 4+ million registered Republicans in the state of Florida understand understand that no two people can agree 100% on everything, and that most of us as Republicans agree that we need good, effective, efficient government with small government, a government that provides the basic services that we expect government to provide, and we need fiscally responsible government. And establishment and Tea Party can agree on that. I think that a lot of the noise we hear is often a small, very small percentage of people that just like to throw bombs and spitballs at the party, and they happen to capture the media attention because they do it. I will tell you that the, you know, whether you call them establishment or Tea Partiers that I know, by and large, agree, as you said, on a majority of the issues and can unify in the midterms on those issues.
I'm so glad to hear that because, I mean, we have people to beat and they're called Democrats in this election.
Yeah, and, you know, I have found that control the things you can, and we're going to go out and preach the message of here in Florida, fiscal responsibility and job creation, educating our kids. Those are all things that we can agree on, and if people want to throw spitballs from the sidelines, I'm going to let them bounce off. Keep moving.
Right, have your guard up.
That's right.
Now, how do you think Pam Bondi and Adam Putnam will do, the state, the attorney general, and the, he's the commissioner of agriculture, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think that they're both, I don't expect them to be, obviously you take nothing for granted, but I expect that they're going to win re-election. They both have done outstanding jobs, as well as our chief financial officer, Jeff Atwater, all of our members of the cabinet, since they've been in office. I don't see the Democrats being able to put up a serious candidate, a viable candidate against any of the three of them, because the Democrats just don't have, a strong bench, and B, our cabinet members have done an outstanding job working with the governor on fiscal responsibility and getting Florida back to work.
Now we're getting to the governor's race. We have Rick Scott, our accomplished governor, who's running for re-election with Carlos Lopez Cantera, a guest on my show, a shameless plug.
Good.
Yes, he was when he was a property appraiser, he was on my show. He's a very competent person. And a guy named Charlie Crist, who's not running as a Democrat, not running as independent, not running as a Republican, he's running as in the party of Charlie Crist. He would be anything if he thought he could make a buck out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is the National Review has a piece out today, and it's called Crist Against Crist. It's worth a read.
I gotta see this.
You know, it basically matches Crist up against himself many years ago and Crist up against himself today on totally opposite sides of the positions he's previously held. But the article concludes with a really funny ending, and it says, Crist in 2016 is against the Crist of 2014, because the Crist of 2014 was too much of a centrist and not progressive enough. it was a good read with an interesting, predictable ending.
And how do you think that race will plug out? I mean, do you think Rick Scott could win re-election? I mean, what do you think the odds are?
Yeah, look, I mean, Rick Scott was elected on 700,000 jobs in 7 years. His motto, his line was, let's get to work. And people may forget that when he said that and made that commitment, that was a pretty bold statement because Florida was still bleeding jobs. And he stepped out and said, I'm running for governor and I'm going to create jobs, private sector jobs, when I get there. And he's done exactly that. 460,000 jobs since he was elected. Our state bled 832,000 jobs under Charlie Crist. The records couldn't be clearer. Rick Scott's been fiscally responsible. He's paid down over $3.5 billion in debt. Former Governor Charlie Crist incurred about $5 billion in debt. So we feel good. The record is on Rick Scott's side.
I'm so happy to hear that because we need Rick Scott reelected. Another reason is he could block parts of Obamacare that Charlie Crist won't do. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Rick Scott is was fighting Obamacare before he ran for governor. Was running ads against it. He was also engaged back in the day when the Clintons were trying to pass Clinton Care. And Rick Scott's committed to access to doctors, low cost, and quality care. And that's the exact opposite of what we're seeing in, under Obamacare, where we know at least 300,000 Floridians will lose their job, their current health insurance at some point under this Affordable Care Act. And remember, the president said if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep him or her. And that's just not the case.
The operative word is he said.
That's right.
He lied.
A lot of talking.
Yes.
A lot of action.
And when he apologized, he said, I'm sorry you misunderstood. He never apologized for saying what he said.
Right. What is there to misunderstand about it?
Exactly.
Your health care insurance, thereby losing access to your physician. I mean, this is the most important asset thing that we have as individuals. The most important thing that we have is our health. And the relationship between a patient and a doctor is sacred. And that has been turned upside down under Obamacare.
Lenny, do you think any of the social issues, like I'm somebody who's very involved in the pro-life and the pro-marriage and the Second Amendment issues, do you think any of those issues could help the Republicans in any of the Florida races?
For example, I'm pro-life. I would say that the issues of our time right now, though, are nationally, we've got major fiscal issues. Fortunately, states like Florida are doing the right thing versus what the federal government's doing. I would suggest that candidates ought to just be true to who they are and their principles. And, if pro-life candidates ought to talk about that, they ought to talk about it in a thoughtful way and just be true to who they are.
Exactly. I agree with you. Now we're going to get to 2016 because we talked about that. Do you think Marco Rubio might run for president, or do you think he may have a hard time giving up his Senate seat? I love Marco Rubio. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, a lot of folks in the country and in Florida would love to see Senator Rubio make a run for president. I know that he's focused every day now on his job as a senator. We've seen him do that. He's been in office. We're just fortunate in Florida to have two individuals that are talking about being serious presidential contenders, and that's Senator Rubio and former Governor Jeb Bush. And, it's exciting for Florida to have two folks that could do it, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens. And we as Floridians ought to at least enjoy the ride in the process that we have that quality and caliber of folks in our own state.
Do you think it's possible they may both run? Or do you think if one runs, the other may want to bow out?
I wouldn't expect that they both run, but I've learned in politics, nothing surprises me. But no, I wouldn't expect that.
Now, for other candidates, I want to know what you think of two others because I like them so much. Do you think Mike Huckabee has a good shot of running and Paul Ryan?
I think all of our Republican candidates bring different strengths to the table. Paul Ryan took the lead on budgetary problems long before it was popular. He took a bold position. This was long before he was a vice presidential candidate. Mike Huckabee has been a governor, and he's been on the national stage before, so he understands the grind. He's been through it. I think we've got, obviously, a long primary process ahead of us. The good news is the Republican National Committee last week changed the rules to shorten the primary process, get control of the debates, so we don't spend an extended period of time with 10 or 15 Republicans on a stage just beating the heck out of each other.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes, and handing ammunition to the Democrats.
Lenny, do you think that like 2008 was an anti-Bush vote, this could be an anti-Obama vote because his popularity is just plummeting like something falling down a hole?
Yeah, I think there'll be elements of the electorate in the midterms and in the next presidential that are anti-Obama. I would suggest that we as a party and our candidates, however, not rest on that or run on that. Americans are going to be looking in 2016 for a vision. What is the United States going to look like in the years ahead? What are our kids going to look like? How are they going to be educated? How are we going to get them in a position where they don't inherit this burden that we've put on them? So we're going to need a positive agenda. That coupled with some of the anti-Obama vote puts us over the finish line.
I am from your lips to God's ears, I'll tell you. Lenny, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Would you care to give out your website?
Yeah, rpof.org. rpof.org, and it's fantastic talking to you. I appreciate you having me on today. Cold day in North Florida.
It's not so cold down here, but I'd like to trade places with you because it's kind of hot out here. How about that?
Yeah, well, next time we'll trade. We had a...
You know, in closing, we have some incredible elections coming up. I see great results. Hopefully, I am a fortune teller. This is my guest in signing off.